Thank you for tuning in to the Going to the Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we discuss the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football. As always, I'm your host, Jeremiah.
And I'm Anthony.
And we're back again. It is February 9th, episode 173, and, you know, we're literally, we still have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yep.
Still a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about Terrell Owens today. I did talk about Terrell Owens not making the Hall of Fame on Monday, but it appears that Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts, who became a member of the Hall of Fame selection committee for the first time in Houston this year, said he believes Terrell Owens got a fair shake before his case didn't even advance. So this is a direct quote from Dan Fouts in an interview he had at a radio station in Nashville. This is what he said. Quote, I think his numbers are very worthy, but again, on the other side of it, I think his actions on and off the field, on the sidelines, in the locker room, and the fact he played for so many teams and was such a great player. The question that comes back to me is, if he was such a great player, why did so many of those teams get rid of him? And I think we all know the answer. So basically, he's asking, if Terrell Owens deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, why was he cut by three teams? Because, you know, he jumped around from team to team. You know, he did start out his career with the 49ers, and then Terrell Owens went to the Eagles. Then he went to the Cowboys. Then he went to the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. I think he ended his career with the Bengals there, playing with Chad Ochocinco, that, you know, a.k.a. Chad Johnson, who changed his name to Ochocinco and then changed it back to Johnson. That's really confusing. But, yeah, what were your overall thoughts on, you know, Dan Fouts' comments? Like, I get it. I get that his off-the-field antics are part of the reason why he's not in the Hall of Fame. And I knew that. I knew that it was going to come into account. But when you just look at his numbers, he's literally in the category with Randy Moss and Jerry Rice, especially when you go to career receiving yards. He's smack dab in the middle at number two between Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. I just think, you know, he has the numbers that speak for itself. And if, you know, voters can't see past the numbers, I just think, you know, the process is kind of flawed a little bit. I really think it is. You know, I think you have to look at the overall numbers. And, you know, you have to look, taking into account the impact he made on the field. And sure, you know, he was, you know, quote unquote, you know, locker room hassle. He was a diva receiver. But I think the numbers speak for themselves.
So the thing you talk about this whole thing with it is, okay, yeah, Terrell Owens did play for a handful of teams, right? San Francisco, Philadelphia, Dallas, Buffalo, Cincinnati. Seattle, he was just on the practice squad. So that wasn't a thing. So all these teams that he played for, right? The only thing was, oh, he got cut from all these teams, and if he was so good, why was he on these different teams? Okay, so was Shaq a Hall of Famer?
And I asked that. Yes, he is. Yes, he was.
I asked that because he played for six teams, and he kept moving around, you know, Orlando, L.A., Miami, Phoenix, Cleveland, Boston. And, yeah, then in Boston he was a lot bigger, wasn't the same guy, but he played for a lot of different teams. You know, we've seen people move around to different teams. That'll happen. Gary Payton is a Hall of Famer. He played for a handful of teams, right? Like, and the thing with Darrell Owens, 153 touchdowns, 15,934 yards, and 1,078 receptions is what he finally put up at the end of his career. And not just that, but in 2010, he still had 983 yards and 9 touchdowns. He was still good, you know, towards the very end of his career in 2010, when you shouldn't be a good player anymore, right? When you're, you know, what's 37 years old, he was doing things that you shouldn't be able to do at that age, still putting out really good performances. And, I mean, it's just you don't like him. That's it. Like, it's just the fact that you don't like what he did. And don't get me wrong, he was a jerk off of the field, super jerk. He, you know, just the press conference alone when he's doing pull-ups, or not pull-ups, sit-ups, in the driveway going, next question, lifting the weights, everything else like that. That's his legacy. You know, that's what's embedded in everybody's head. But All that being said, it's not like the dude wasn't one of the greatest wide receivers you've ever seen in your life. At least, you know, say that you don't like him, right? Because Fouts said, oh, he was given a fair shake. I mean, how? Like, how was he giving a fair shake? Because, you know, you looked at the numbers and you're like, well, that's good. Well, what about this? Well, we don't like how he was doing stuff off the field. We don't like him spiking the ball on the star. We don't like him taking out the Sharpie and signing the football. We don't like, you know, him with the popcorn, stuff like that. We don't like all the stuff that happened after that, which fine, I get all those things. But then you better be consistent with it then, because one of my favorite players of all time is Randy Moss, and he did just as many things. But I love Randy Moss, and he's also been on kind of a commentating role now at ESPN, so I'm thinking that's going to get him in the good graces of Terrell Owens sitting. So if you're going to say these things to Terrell Owens, fine. But now you got to say it with Randy Moss. You have to not let Darren Sharper in the Hall of Fame. Like, yeah. You have to
That's probably not going to happen.
You have to, it's because Peter King has basically come out and said, like, look, I can compartmentalize these things and say that he was great on one end, but also could be eligible to the Hall of Fame in the other. And he and Katie Nolan kind of had a back and forth that on Twitter, and she even had him on his podcast to talk about it. So if you're going to say that about Terrell Owens, fine. But now you're going to be the morals police, right? Now you're going to be the Baseball Hall of Fame with the steroid stuff, right? That's what you decided to be. Fine. Cool. Now stick to that and be that. But like I said, you're going to have to be that with him. You're going to have to be that with Randy Moss. You're going to have to be that way with who else? Like, who else would it be kind of that whole, like, diva wide receiver that'll be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, because, you can go probably.
Because Ocho's not going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Ocho's single's not getting in the Hall of Fame.
He's really good, but he's not Hall of Fame. No. Right, because wide receiver, you know, hard to get with that. Anyways, so, you know, it becomes one of those situations, right? And if you're going to do that, then fine, but you got to be consistent with it. And, like, I was even kind of okay with it. Not okay with it, but when he didn't get in the first year, like, you want to punish him for a year, fine. Like, it's really petty, and it's basically you being a parent and saying, like, oh, well, you can't do this right now because I say you can't, right? It's petty and it's weird, but at least fine. Like, I understand it to a certain degree. Like, now, after the second year, you're just doing it because you don't like the guy. And you hear stuff that's saying, like, oh, maybe he doesn't get in, because Fouts doesn't say anything close to, like, oh, well, I think he'll get in next year. No, this doesn't sound like he's going to get in the year after it also. So you're going to have however many years of him not getting in. And it's one thing if you do it with someone like an Art Monk, when the passing game is different now and the stuff looks a little bit different than it did back in the day, or if you do it with Chris Carter, who was really good but wasn't ever considered, like, one of the best wide receivers of all time, even though he had a lot of touchdown receptions. Terrell Owens, from the day he was gone, you're like, oh, no, he's one of the top five receivers we've ever seen in this game. At least with Randy Moss, if you want to throw out kind of like a, you know, asterisk or whatever, say like, oh, well, he just liked to run the go route, right? He just liked to run straight forward and catch like those, you know, 55-yard bombs. Terrell Owens could do everything you want him to do. He could do the long pass. He could do the slant route. He can curl. Anything you basically want him to do, he could do for you. So it's just basically people don't like him, and that's fine, but be consistent with it.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of bias towards not voting him into the Hall of Fame, and you did allude to a good point there with Randy Moss. He did have some of his legal troubles as well, and people don't really talk about that. You know, Terrell Owens, he hasn't had a lot he didn't have a lot of legal troubles at all when he was playing. When he was active, he was just flamboyant off the field.
Well, he also had the thing where he basically divided the Philadelphia locker room.
That too, but
like, that's the thing that people remember.
That's basically the whole thing. And
because Dallas, he was more or less fine. In Buffalo and Cincinnati, he was more or less fine. Yeah, he probably did some things that pissed people off, but he was more or less fine. It was just that. And, you know, well, it's basically the whole thing of Philadelphia was we split the locker room and we did the sit-ups in the driveway. Those two things basically, and the thing he had against Jeff Garcia, right? He had those two kind of Main Street kind of things with people because he seemed to love Tony Romo, you know, crying in the press conference, my quarterback, all that stuff like that. It's just those handful of things that, you know, we still don't forgive Tony Romo for botching the snap in Seattle. And that happened, what, like 10, 12 years ago? Like, we still don't let him forget about that. Like, we will take something and that will be your lasting memory forever. Ask Bill Buckner how that works out. Ask Bartman in Chicago how that worked out for a long period of time until they finally got rid of that just because they won the World Series. Like, we will take something, whether you're famous or not, one snapshot, and it's like, oh, nope, that's your legacy. That's all we remember of you. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah, well, that was a and you know what you just said, you know, you have a lot of very solid points, Anthony, and I really do think Terrell Owens will get into Hall of Fame.
Oh, he will, yeah.
And I said this on my, I do think he has to wait for very, very long time. He pretty much has, I think he has to wait for all the other Hall of Fame voters to, like, pretty much die out.
You know what he has to do? No, it's not even die out. You know what he has to do, honestly? Because they're going to bring in people who are the same. This isn't like the Baseball Hall of Fame where there's, like, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of people. There's, like, 10 people or something like that that basically sit in a room and judge these things. So that's the whole waiting for them to pass thing's not going to happen. What's actually going to be the thing that gets him in more than anything else is if he does this whole like press conference where he seems contrite. You know what I mean? Seems contrite, because who knows if he actually is or not, or even if he should be or not. That's a whole different thing of whether he should be or not. That's be the thing where people, the voters, basically just like, yeah, I feel like he's repented for his sins, as if it's some kind of like cathedral where you have to repent for sins. But that's what it's going to be. It's going to be basically people thinking that he feels bad about it and he wants to make amends on this whole thing. That's the thing that's going to make it flip more than anything else.
Yeah, and, you know, I can see your point there. And I kind of want to bring this up real quick before we go to the break. You know, Michael Vick retired.
Right.
And I think – and, you know, he does have really good – he does have numbers, but he doesn't have great numbers that are Hall of Fame worthy. But – I don't think he will ever be in the Hall of Fame, because if T.O. can't get in, there's definitely no chance that Michael Vick can get in.
Well, the thing with Michael Vick, the Hall of Fame for Michael Vick isn't necessarily getting into the Hall of Fame. It's getting into the Atlanta Falcons Hall of Fame.
That's too. Yeah.
Because he is one of the most
– he literally
– second most notable Falcon of all time?
I think, honestly, though –
behind Dion?
That, and he literally turned around that franchise.
Yeah. He made Falcons cool.
He made
like Dion really made him cool in the 90s, and then or 80s actually, and early 90s, and Vic made him cool again in the early 2000s. Like that's what it was. Like there was kind of a lull in like the mid to late 90s where the Falcons were winning because they went to the Super Bowl in 1998, but it wasn't ever kind of like a cool thing, right? Like you had Jamal Anderson and stuff like that, the Dirty Birds and stuff like that. He also had Eugene Robinson, Man of the Year, getting popped for soliciting a prostitute the day before the Super Bowl. But he didn't have any kind of, like, flair with the team, right? He didn't have anything to get the people excited. And then Vic came along in, I think, 2001 and totally revitalized the stuff. Yes, five or whatever it was years later, dogfighting, prison, all that stuff, really bad. But now he kind of, you know, brought it back with Matt Ryan. He's Hall of Fame for the Falcons is what's going to be the thing for him. Not exactly the – even though he has, like, Pro Football Hall of Fame moments, right? He has the most rushing yards for a quarterback.
Yeah.
He was a pioneer necessarily in the sense of just, like, the guy that you had to deal with, because not only was he a mobile quarterback like Steve Young or Randall Cunningham or whatever, but he was fast, man, and you had to deal with him more than anybody else.
Now that, he was probably the best video game player of all time.
Yes.
Best video game.
I think that's generational, because people that are our parents will say Bo Jackson,
exactly,
will say Michael Vick.
And I actually talked about that on Monday, too. You know, you can say Michael Vick and Madden 04 or Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl. But,
right.
You know, getting back to Terrell Owens, I do think he is a Hall of Fame. He has the numbers. It's just a matter of time. And it's just a matter of when than if. But we're actually going to take our first break here. We're going to be talking about Tony Dungy. We're gonna explain why we're gonna talk about Tony Dungy back when his coaching days with the Indianapolis Colts. When we get back to the Going to Me Concepts Football Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts football podcast. And, you know, Tony Dungy has come into the news recently, but that is because he was commented back towards comments made by Hall of Fame quarterback Deion Sanders. He's an analyst for NFL Network. He does a great job at it. He made comments after the Super Bowl about the Colts cheating when his colleague, who is also an analyst, I think on the same show for NFL Network, Damian Thompson, who is also going to be a Hall of Famer, Damian Thompson said something, you know, he questioned New England's success because of Spygate. You know, when, if you don't know what Spygate, you know, it's when, you know, Patriots videotaped their opponent's signals from an unauthorized location. So, you know, Deion Sanders accused Tony Dungy of doing that back in the days with Peyton Manning. This is back when Peyton Manning was in his prime, too. So this is what Deion Sanders had to say on NFL Network. He said, quote, "Those same critics, did they say anything about the wins that the Indianapolis Colts had? You want to talk about that, too, because they were getting everybody's signals. Like, come on, you don't walk up to the line and look over here and the man on the sideline giving you the defense that they stole in the plays of. We all knew, LT knew, everyone in the NFL knew. We just didn't let the fans know that was real and that was happening in Indy." End quote. So Dungy yesterday has some comments about Mr. Deion Sanders there. And this is what he had to say on Pro Football Talk Live. Quote, I think we have to go back to what is cheating. People accusing us of cheating, I don't think that's the case. Stealing signals, you can't go back to 1800s in baseball. You can go anywhere that were signals done and people were looking and watching trying to get signals. And Deion Sanders went back on Twitter, stood by his comments. He said, "I guess ain't nobody sports-wise got anything to fill the boring talk shows or columns up, so they're bringing up an old issue that's accurate." So, Deion Sanders accused Tony Dungy of stealing signals, and Dungy said it happens all the time. So, that's a lot to take in. And I know this is the type of stories you love talking about, Anthony. You love talking about these type of stories.
What do you mean I love to talk about it? What do you mean?
You like chaos.
I do love chaos. I do.
Yeah, this is up your alley.
That is true. But the thing with this is I kind of agree that it's not that big of a deal, right? Because it's like the stealing signals thing. Like, if you're going to – like, that's why you always see people who have the signs and they kind of put them up to their mouth and do-do-do-do-do. Like, they kind of, like, muffle it, right? Or they kind of make sure that you don't see what their, you know, lips are actually saying. That's why they steal do these things where they hide them. So if you're doing it obvious for people to see him from across the, you know, way, that's your fault. There is a difference between doing that and, like, videotaping the things. I do get that part of it. Also, you cheated too. Like, it's like there's different levels of cheating, right? If you look over your teammate or your classmate's shoulder and you see that the question number 4 that he put C and then you put C, that's cheating. If you decide to take the entire answer sheet and go one by one by one and answer all these questions like that, that's also cheating, but that's a different level of cheating, right? There's levels of these things. It's not just like a one size fits all. The Patriots cheated with, you know, Spygate or whatever you want to call it. It has nothing to do with spying Watergate. Anyways, you know, you have the situation with that. And now with this here, you have that situation with Dungy was stealing signs or signals or whatever you want to call it. He's got his own version of cheating. I mean, Atlanta got busted last year for piping in crowd noise. You had the situation where the Vikings and the Panthers got in trouble because they were trying to heat the football when it was really, really cold outside. You know, they got dinged for that. A lot of people do a lot of different things during the cheat. The Browns were basically calling up from the top of the press box, calling in, texting down on the field. They got in trouble for that. There's a lot of things that people do as far as cheating goes. The Raiders won Super Bowls with Stick'Em, which is basically glue that they put on their body so that we could stick to them. Like, people have been cheating for very, very long periods of time. I mean, Dungy talked about the 1800s with baseball and stealing signs. Yeah, you cheat in many, many different ways. I don't care that Brady did it. I don't care that the Patriots did it. I don't care that Dungy did it. I don't care that anybody did it. It's fine. Just, you know, that's why I never got mad at the Patriots. It's like, oh, they cheated. So do a lot of people. The thing with Dungy, and Dungy's trying to like hide behind the thing of like, oh, it's not cheating. It's something that people do all the time. Fine. Also cheating. Like, you can call it's like, oh, it's not cheating. A lot of people do it. That's not an excuse. That's a rationalization. Those are two different things. But this whole thing with Brady and Deion's basically saying like, you know, why are we making a big deal of this? And we're making a big deal because we need content. We need to talk about things, and this is something to talk about, so we're going to talk about it. And it kind of – I always like will circle back to things to say, okay, this thing with Dungy, we're going to kind of go past this, right? We basically figured out that Jerry Rice used Stick'Em, right? We kind of figured that out. He admitted basically that he used Stick'Em, and then once it became a big deal, he was like, oh, well, it wasn't Stick'Em. It was just – it was this, right? You try and backtrack these things. But you said it, and we know you said it, and we're moving on. We don't really remember that with them. So my thing is always, okay, this story. Now make it the Patriots. Now make the Patriots thing where it's like, oh, they were stealing signs. I mean, we were making jokes when when the Steelers had the alarm pulled. You know, oh, the Patriots. Even if it had nothing to do with the Patriots. When they were drones over the Super Bowl. Oh, the Patriots, look what they did. We're always going to make these jokes about the Patriots. But what if it actually was the Patriots stealing signs? We would spend weeks on this. We spent years on deflated footballs, years, millions of dollars were spent on this thing. So many trees died because of Deflategate. So many trees were cut down in the form of basically arguing these things. Millions of dollars. But with this, it's going to go away after a couple of days.
Yeah, that is true. When you compare this, the Indianapolis Colts organization and this whole situation and the beef between Deion Sanders and Tony Dungy.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually made a really great point, Anthony.
Yeah.
That.
Good point.
You know, if this was a Patriots, this story would not go anywhere anytime soon. You know, it would not. Because the Patriots have a publicized history of quote-unquote cheating. You know, we don't hear about it a lot from other teams. And I just love how you thought about the trees during that whole your whole comment there. You thought about the trees. There's so many trees did that.
So many trees.
That's the thing that's underplayed here. So.
And also you get the fact of – so the two things I think about with certain situations, I always think about with this, like what if it's a Patriots? And if somebody like Tom Brady does something and he's fiery, or Kirk Cousins does something and he's like fiery, rah-rah guy, and it's like, oh, look, he has passion. Look at him. He wants to win. Okay, now make that Cam Newton. And let's see how that goes, because it won't be the same thing, because you're going to yell at Cam Newton because you don't like Cam Newton for whatever reason you want to talk about.
There's a couple of reasons why people don't like Cam
Newton. You don't like what Cam Newton does, so I always do those two things. What if it was the Patriots, and what if it was Cam Newton? Because those are two things where it's just things become different because of either past transgressions or you just don't like the person, however you want to classify it.
Yeah, and that's the thing I kind of hate about, you know, comparing – other players, like, you made the point with, you know, Cam Newton, if he could have came out with the fiery passion and all that.
Right.
People would have said, oh, you know, that looks really bad. You know, he has a lot of attitude. Why is he acting up? But if Tom Brady did that,
mm-hmm.
They'd be like, oh, he's the GOAT. There'll be, like, lots of, like, videos of that. You know, he's great because he does this. It's like, I don't know, it's just a lot of... It's Thursday, man. It's Thursday. That's all I can say about all this story.
Right.
Yeah, it's Thursday. But we're actually going to take our last break here. And we're going to get into some news. Well, not really news, but we're going to kind of speculate where Tony Romo is going to play next year. And we will do that here at the Going to Meet Concepts Football Podcast.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And with the offseason now upon us, it's time to get into some speculation here. And the biggest question this offseason is, what team will Tony Romo play for in 2017? Will the Dallas Cowboys trade him? Will they release him? What uniform will the 36-year-old quarterback wear? What is it? What's going to happen with Jerry Jones's boy there? Well, you know, Tony Romo is 36. I think the Cowboys' two options are to either trade him or release him. And Jones, you know, he has a close relationship with Romo. We all know that. You know, that's pretty much his boy. But, you know, with the emergence of Dak Prescott, you know, they look like they're in very good position for years to come with Dak Prescott. You know, he was rookie of the year. He was one of the most efficient quarterbacks, in my opinion, last year. So, if Tony Romo happens to not don a Cowboys uniform next year, there's a variety of teams I can see him go to. You know, we can cross the Broncos out because they said that they are very much all in on Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch.
Right.
So, we cross them out.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the Texans are a very good option.
The only thing is that, though, I don't think Jerry Jones trades him away in the state.
No, he would not do that. I do think if the Cowboys do release him, he will go to Texas. That'd be one of the teams.
Mm-hmm.
And another team that has been talked about is Chicago. Chicago's one of those teams. The New York Jets, the dumpster fire over there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Arizona Cardinals were talked about a little bit. You know, even though they do have a quarterback that's practically the same age. But, you know, the Cardinals have enough talent to make a really
good. Right. We thought they would be a Super Bowl contender
exactly.
This year.
They have that kind of talent to have a deep playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
Me, personally, I actually did think that he was going to go to Denver earlier. Like, if you asked me this question like 2 months ago, I'd be like, Denver, no question. It'll be a Super Bowl contender. I think Tony Romo should go to the Houston Texans. I do think so. Because look at how this team played without J.J. Watt, the defense, all right? And if they have a quarterback, this is a Super Bowl contending team. You know, they played Tom Brady very well in that divisional game. I do think the Texans are a perfect spot for Romo because, you know, he is going just across his – he's literally not going to travel that far.
Right.
So that's one option I can see him at. I don't know about Chicago. I just don't think they have the O-line to protect him. The New York Jets, I just think he should just stay away from that team. They're just a dumpster fire. But I do think Houston is probably the best possible option because they need a quarterback. And we all know how Brock Osweiler play. And we all know how DeAndre Hopkins did not – you know, get a lot of passes thrown to him, even though he did have pretty good numbers, and the emergence of your boy CJ Fedorowicz. But yeah, you know, I do think the Texans are a very
Viable
option.
The Texans are a good option for him. You know, and all of this basically stems because you had Jerry Jones come out recently and say that, you know, he talks about how this team is, you know, tailor-made on offense for Tony Romo and how he doesn't know what's going to happen in this whole situation. Basically, he's still clinging on to Tony Romo, right? He still wants so badly to keep Tony Romo as his guy, negating the fact that Dak Prescott's a lot younger than him, negating the fact that Tony Romo can't stay healthy, negating the fact that Dak Prescott, without, you know, his teammate Ezekiel Elliott on the team, could have been the MVP or the Rookie of the Year, you know. He still wants Romo to be the guy. So now for like, okay, fine, Romo, he shouldn't be the guy. Now where does Romo go? And the problem is because he has so much of a cap hit this year, right? If he doesn't play, if he gets cut, it's a $24 million cap hit for him. Like he makes $14 million, but because of, you know, things like, you know, salary cap and, you know, guaranteed contracts and everything else like that, there's all these places that he could go because he wanted to save money where you basically trade him away. You know, there's places you can go. You can go to the Bills. You can go to the Bears. You can go to the Browns. You can go to the Niners. You can go to bad teams like that. And that's fine. But you want to take them to good teams. Kansas City would be a team like that. you know, you bring him over, he said, to Houston. But like I said, I don't think Jerry Jones is trading him away in the state, because if you lose out, it's one thing if you lose out and Romo goes to, let's say, the Chiefs and wins the Super Bowl there. That's one thing. But if he's in your own state and he wins the Super Bowl, then you got to atone for that, because they basically won the ring with your guy that you couldn't win with, right? That's kind of an ego blow that Jerry Jones doesn't really feel like having. So you look at the good teams like that are kind of, you know, one step away. You could have said Minnesota, but they traded everything for Sam Bradford, and he's basically going to be their guy while Bridgewater gets healthy.
If Bridgewater even comes back.
If
he comes back, you know, we can't underplay that.
That's the thing, too. Yeah. Even if he does, because who knows that? Maybe he, you know, gets some injury setbacks and everything else, like, too. You know, there's other situations around the league, like you said about Arizona. That's one that, you know, you could put in the quarterback, you know, basically all of a sudden the situation seems a lot better. It seems like a situation that'll, you know, bring you from middle of the pack to now Super Bowl contention again. You look at teams like in the NFC East, the Giants are obviously set. Philly's obviously set. The Giants are obviously set. So you got a situation where maybe, possibly, you kind of look around at Washington, you're like, if Kirk Cousins decides he wants to leave somewhere, maybe you interject him, and now all of a sudden you have a situation where you can get that team a little step higher, because Kirk Cousins may want to go over to San Francisco, and maybe kind of like a musical chairs kind of scenario. There's a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah, you know, with the, you know, Kyle Shanahan being the head coach. Right. Now, so,
you know, there's a couple different scenarios that could play out here.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of – when I saw the Chiefs as a possible team – I kind of feel bad that was on his list, because Alex Smith is still the quarterback. And Alex Smith, remember, this is a guy that lost the starting spot to Colin Kaepernick, and we all know how that kind of turned out.
Right.
I know Colin Kaepernick got the National Super Bowl, but Colin Kaepernick probably might not even be on a team next year.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith now, if he might lose his starting spot again to Tony Romo, a guy that's older than him, and I kind of feel bad for Alex Smith now.
Right.
If Tony Romo does go to Kansas City, but don't get me wrong, you know, Alex Smith has been good enough to go to the playoffs, but I don't think Alex Smith is the type of quarterback to win a Super Bowl. I just don't think so. I think if it's just didn't happen by now, I don't know if it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of talent around, but you know, he just hasn't done a whole lot to get the Chiefs to Super Bowl. He can get them to the playoffs, but they're 1-3 in the playoffs with him under center. And we remember he was on that Chiefs team that blew pretty much like a 30-point lead in the playoffs to the Colts.
So right.
We all remember that. But, you know, the Chiefs, I honestly think if Tony Romo goes to the Chiefs, they're a Super Bowl contender. The Jets, I can see him going there, but I think he should stay away from there.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers, though, I don't know. I think that might be a little bit of a long shot, especially with Kyle Shanahan. And there's not a whole lot of talent around that team. But I do see the Texans, and I do see the Bills. I can't see him go to Cleveland. Like, why would you want to go? Why would you do that?
Well, no, Jerry Jones has basically made it to the Tony Romo's his boy, and I don't think he would do that to him. I think he would just seem that as mean, right? It's like, oh, let's send you over to Cleveland. Like, I think that would just be the equivalent of sending your kid off to boarding school, right? You're just mad at him. You're just sending him away, kind of thing like that. Like, that's not nice, and I don't think he would do that to him. I think if he was going to send him, he was going to send him to a team that's not, you know, bam, Super Bowl contender right now, but will make the team solidly better, right? A team that's like, oh, okay, then maybe they can make a next step, which would be what Buffalo would be. Buffalo would be like, oh, okay, cool. You can do better things here. Maybe you win a Super Bowl, because who knows in the NFL sometimes. But, you know, we give you to a team that you'll be better, but not necessarily immediately Super Bowl contender. Like, I can see Buffalo a lot more than a lot of other teams.
Yeah, and I think Buffalo...
Not in your conference, not in your state,
exactly, yeah.
Not anywhere near you, totally away from everything. All right, cool. You have fun with that. Now you go face the Patriots twice a year, see how that goes for you.
That would be fun to watch.
It would be fun to watch.
That would be fun.
It would be fun to watch. Yeah, the Dolphins who won the, you know, made it into the playoffs, the Patriots who were just the juggernauts of all juggernauts, and you got Tony Romo on the Bills. That would make three teams that are good, and then you also got the Jets.
Who are
the Jets?
Pretty much, yeah.
They are the more successful older brother of the Browns. And when I say more successful older brother, they're just the older brother that basically didn't go to prison. They're the ones that, like, avoided the prison rap, right? They're not in the prison, but, you know, they're they're close.
How do you?
But they're loved more because they're not in, you know, they didn't do the really bad things.
All right.
My analogies are weird sometimes. It's fine.
You understand? I do understand it. It's just, wow.
It's early, man.
I wish I could come up with those analogies.
I got more. No,
I can't, man.
Oh, no. I got more for you. I got these jokes. I got these analogies for you. They might always make sense. It's also early in the morning. I'm tired. It's fine. But,
all right.
You know, it's fine.
All right. So, all right. Well, on that note.
Yes, on that note.
We're going to end. I'm kidding. In a little bit, we are going to end the show. But I just want to say, I do think the Buffalo Bills are more. I think they are a long shot, but I think it's a very good destination for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Texans are a very good destination for them as well. But realistically, though, what team do you think Tony Romo would be on? Realistically, you all kind of put it all together.
If I had like all the teams for Romo, what do I think you'd go to?
Yeah.
Honestly, Buffalo, now that I'm thinking about it, I think would probably be the best odds.
Okay.
Because it's so far away from everything. Like I said, Houston's still in the state of Texas. Washington is in the division. They're not going to do that. You know, there's other situations where you could say, like, the Jets, that's mean. The Browns, that's mean. The Niners, that's mean. Bears, that's mean. Like, you want to be somewhat nice to him. This kind of, like, accommodates everything else. You get a chance where he can play. You get a chance where he's away from you. And you get a chance where he's not going to burn you with a Super Bowl right out of the bat.
You know what? I'm going to be bold.
All right.
And I think I say he goes to the Jets.
Poor Romo.
I know. I say that for a couple of reasons.
Has he been hurt enough?
I say that for a couple of reasons. You know, they got two guys in line behind him, Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg. They're not ready to be starters in the NFL. They're not. And, you know, I know Tony Romo is going to be 37
mm-hmm.
when the season starts, but these are two guys that can really learn behind him.
Right.
And he can be a huge upgrade to that offense. This is an offense that has Brandon Marshall. They have Eric Decker.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy Anunua had a great year. They have good running backs. I know Matt Forte is up their age, but Bilal Plow looks like he can be the starter going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like the pieces around Tony Romo. It's just the defense. It's just the defense that needs a lot of improvement. But if Tony Romo goes to Jets, I do think they can be a 10-win team.
Yeah,
I can. Same with team. And not only that, he can benefit the young quarterbacks on that roster. So I'm going to be bold and say he goes to the New York Jets and faces the Patriots twice a year in a Jets uniform.
I can see it.
Yeah. I think
it'd be mean, but I can see it.
Yeah, yeah. I can see it as a realistic chance when you kind of mm-hmm. think about it. So you say he's going to the Bills.
I would say Bills.
I say he's going to the Jets. Well, we're going to have to wait and see. And that concludes today's show, Anthony. Like, who's today's show? And we are back tomorrow.
Yep.
I don't think Ben's doing the
football. No, I think he's done with football now, yeah.
Yeah, I know after the Super Bowl, he's like, man, screw you guys.
I mean.
I'm kidding. He has, like, other shows to worry about. But, yeah, I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in to the Going to Me Concepts Football Podcast. We will be back tomorrow discussing anything that happens in the past. Oh, no, in the past 24 hours. The next 24 hours. And we'll probably have some more speculation in the off season of things that we want to happen or things that should happen. We might talk about that. But yeah, you know, I thank you guys for tuning in. As always, I'm Jeremiah.
And I'm Anthony.
And see you guys tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.